Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, before we hit the record button, we were just talking about how remarkably warmer it is today than the last time that we recorded in the middle of last week.
I think we were snowing and freezing and winter coats, and now I'm in short sleeve shirt right now, and come on, spring.
Buckle up. It's bound to change again before we know it. But it's good to be in the studio, and we appreciate members of our church family. And maybe you live a long ways away from New Albany, Indiana, but you're tuning in, and we appreciate that. We hope that our time together will be encouraging to you. We're looking back and putting some practical thoughts on just a very, very good and much needed sermon that Roger preached this past Sunday. It was called "He's Working on You." And if you've not had the opportunity to watch or to listen to that sermon, I would definitely encourage you to do that at charlestownroad.org. Roger, you looked into how did Jesus build the church. It was actually part two of a little series that you began about a week and a half ago, talking about the Lord's church and what Jesus has been building, continues to build. He's building people. And you had three basic points. Why don't you walk us back through those three points?
Sure. You know, the passage was Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock I will build my church. We are looking at some building aspects. Our theme this year for this congregation is to rise and build. And so what was it Jesus built? Well, the easy answer is the church. Well, what does that mean? And when you go through scriptures, you realize the church is saved people. So what Jesus was building was people. That leads to the next obvious question, and that is, how does he build people? He's not talking about the first man, Adam, taking some soil and form and face in him. He's all you and I who are walking about today. How does he build us? And so we talked about three main sections here. We talked about how Christ builds conviction from the outside in, and that's through the Word of God. Through the Word of God, we get conviction and we stand upon something. Secondly, we talked about character. Christ builds character from the inside out, and that's the renewing of your mind, as would say in Colossians and also in the book of Romans. And then the third aspect, Christ builds where you dwell, and that's your choice. You allow Jesus to build on your life as much as you let him do that. And so that's kind of the backdrop of the lesson.
I think it would be good. We've got, I think, some really relevant questions here that I want to get to. But first of all, let's make sure that we all understand the terms that you're using. When you talk about conviction, Christ builds conviction from the outside in, what do you mean by conviction?
Conviction is what I believe in. It's what I stand upon. I will do this or I will not do this based upon my core beliefs. And that's the idea of conviction. And we're going to look at some examples of this in just a moment from the book of Daniel. What a great book that shows multiple times young people and even older people having convictions. They were told to do things. They would not do these things because they felt like it was wrong. So to have convictions means you've got a line in the sand. I cannot cross this line without violating my conscience. If I cross this line, I feel like I'm doing wrong with the Lord. That's the idea of conviction. Today, whichever direction the wind blows is where a lot of people stand. God's people have a backbone. They have a conviction.
Well, and I appreciate especially those last few words, God's people. I love how you framed this, that Christ builds conviction from the outside in, and you really emphasized that he uses his word to do that. Lots of people in 2021 have conviction, right? They are willing to take strong stands. They are anxious, perhaps, to explain their stand. They want other people to stand where they stand. But when you talk about God's people, when you talk about the church, you're talking about conviction being shaped by the Word of God. That's really important, and I'd encourage our listeners to remember that. But you used another word, character. You talked about how Christ builds character from the inside out. What do you mean by character?
Character is who you are. It's just the way you behave, the way you think. It deals with humility. It deals with honesty. So conviction is what I stand upon. I stand upon the Word of God. It's found in one of our hymns. Character is who I am. And I am a Christian. I am a honest citizen. That's character traits. And again, to have true biblical character means I'm not going to cave in when the pressure is upon me. I'm not going to change my views when others do not like my views. I'm not going to just give in because it's an easier thing to do. My character won't allow me to cheat just to get ahead. My character will not allow me to sell something when I know that it's a faulty material. I've known people through the years who've bragged about selling cars and had bad tires, but they turned them inside out somehow, and the person never knew. And they kind of boast about that. Well, that's a character flaw. You're cheating somebody. Somebody with biblical character, they're not going to cheat somebody. They're going to be honest. They get too much change. They're going to tell the checkout person, hey, you gave me too much change. Why? Because character. It's not finders keepers. It's not I get what I can get. Character is true. It's based on Jesus.
Right. I hear certain key words that I'd really encourage our listeners to think about. Honesty and integrity. There are all different kinds of character, right? There is hypocritical character. There's what James would describe as double-minded sort of character where, you know, I'm going to appear one way in front of a certain group and a completely different way in sort of a, in front of another group of people. What you're talking with us about is authentic character, Christ-like character. And that leads, of course, to choice. You had three key C words: conviction, character, and choice. You talked about how Christ builds where you dwell. And so let's not take that for granted. When you talk about choice, what do you mean by that?
Well, we're going to decide how close we get to the Lord. We use the Revelation 3:20 passage at that point where it says the Lord stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't bust the door down, come in. He doesn't come in like a robber. He doesn't go through the window. He's not going to come to the back door. He stands at that door and he's knocking and knocking. And unless we open that door, he's not going to come in. And so if I keep Christ out of my marriage, he'll be out of my marriage. If I keep Christ out of my finances, my business dealings, he'll be out of that. If I keep Christ out of my parenting, he'll be out of that. If I keep Christ out of my recreation, he'll be out of that. But if I open up that door and allow Christ to come into my heart and into all areas, I will be the person that Jesus wants me to be. So I can have conviction, I can have character. But the question is, how much of this territory am I turning over to Jesus?
Right. What I really enjoyed about the sermon as I was processing it, as you were preaching and then kind of revisiting it over the course of the last couple of days, each one of these words builds upon another. Conviction to character to choice. And I think about being of a parent of three girls still at home. I want my girls to grow up to make good and wise choices, your third key word. But when I'm honest with myself, I realize that's not going to happen by accident, right? That's not going to come by wishing on a star or, you know, putting a Bible on top of their heads as they sleep, osmosis sort of thing. We make good and wise choices for a reason, from a reason. And so for the parent of a teenager, let's say, at home, how can I get my child to the point where they are prepared, as much as depends on me, to make good and wise choices?
And that's going to take us to the book of Daniel. We'll give you a second to turn over there if you got your Bibles with you to do that. Our culture today is trying to shape us. It's trying to tell us this is what your character is going to be. This is what your conviction is going to be. You have to change because I don't like where you're at. You have to accept me as I am because I say so. And what happens is without someone having some conviction and courage that they're going to be shaped by their friends, by the philosophy of a university or other things like that. And so to have convictions means this is right. I don't care who says otherwise, because this is what God says. So we go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel, and we remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, young men in Judea, taken captive by the Babylonians. The Babylonians had marched in according to God's appointment, part of the punishment for Judah for not being faithful to God, and a whole bunch of them were carried away to Babylon. While they're in Babylon, they were being changed to Babylonians. They were given Babylonian names. They were given Babylonian customs. They were taught the Babylonian language. They were given Babylonian religion. And they were given the Babylonian foods. Basically, when these folks are done, they're going to be Babylonians. But Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego remain true to the Jewish ways. So we get to Daniel 1 and verse 8. And the king has food before them. It says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice foods or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he would not defile himself. Daniel made his mind up. Now, how did he do that? That came back from the days of Judea. I came back in Jerusalem when his mom and dad had taught him. They'd had discussions about this. Now, over here in Babylon, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, mom and dad aren't with him. Very good chance that they died when the Babylonians came in there. So he's by himself. This is the college student in the university. He doesn't have a mom coming in on Sunday morning and banging on the door, time to get up and go to church. He has convictions on his own. This is the college student away from home when mom and dad are not there and the friends on a Friday night are passing the bottle around. Hey, let's take some drinks. He has convictions. I know what's right and wrong. And it's not because of mom and dad. It's because of what God has taught me through his word. So the first thing moms and dads have to do is they have to have these discussions. You've got to have some Bible devotions. You've got to talk about the sermon on the way home from the car. And I'm not talking about how long it was or how many times you used the same word over and over again. I'm talking about, did you get the lesson? Do you understand what conviction is? Do you realize that people are trying to change you into what you're not? And how do you stand up to that? And through these discussions and through these discussions, and you don't wait until they're a freshman in college. It's almost too late then. You do this when they're 2 years old and 3 years old and 5 years old and in first grade and in eighth grade and a senior in high school. You're always talking about these things. We are the people of God. We may look different. We may act different. We may talk different, but we're headed to a different place, and that's called heaven. And so you build and you build and you build that idea of conviction. And so when we look at this in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel by himself made up his mind. Now, a couple pages later, Daniel chapter 3. Now we go to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, young men away from home, no impression that mom and dad were with them. We remember the story that there's this great statue that was built. Everyone was to bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down. King was furious. They brought those three before the king. He gave them a second chance. He even says, what God is there that can deliver you out of my hands? In other words, you're going to die if you don't do what I say. And then we come to that great passage in Daniel chapter 3 and in verse 18, where they say, but even if God does not save us, let it be known to you, O king, we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. There's a line, and we are not going to cross that. Even if we get kicked out of school, even if I lose my job, even if I'm defriended by all my friends, even if I'm kicked off Facebook, even if it takes my life. That's where they were. And so that is conviction. It didn't start when those trumpets first blew. It started long ago when they were at home back in Jerusalem, mom and dad teaching them right from wrong and instilling those lessons.
Conviction, where I stand, leads to character. This is who I am. And character leads to godly choices, which means, I mean, we just follow that right backwards, the same path we just walked down. If I want my children to make good and wise choices, I've got to be intentional in shaping their character. I've got to teach them using passages like Daniel 1 and Daniel 3. Not only is it okay to be distinctive in your character, you're going to have to be distinctive in your character if you're going to walk with Jesus in 2021. And the way that I empower and encourage and inspire my children to do that is this conviction work. This is where we stand. This is why we're standing here. No matter what's going on in the world, this is where we stand. No matter what other people your age are doing, this is where we stand. And Roger, you know better than I do, having had children older than mine are, obviously, it can be difficult at times to encourage our children to stand in distinctive spots. That can be a tough conversation to have, a tough conversation to walk through, especially when the heart of a child would really like to go with the crowd. But conviction shapes character, and character shapes lifelong choices.
I remember a time in the summer, years and years ago, I had one of my boys on second base in the baseball game, and it was Wednesday night. We needed to get down to the church house, and I kept looking at my watch, and I kept praying that the next boy would strike out and end the inning. No, they changed pitchers. This thing kept dragging and dragging. Finally, it got to the point where if I didn't leave, we weren't going to make it in time.
Yeah.
So I went to the coach. And the coach says, he's on second base. I said, I know, but you know what? The Lord matters. And, boy, we had some discussions on the way home about that.
I'm sure you did.
And he wasn't a happy boy at that time, but I look where he's at today. He would not even remember that ball game today. If you asked him, who were they playing, where were you even at, he probably doesn't even remember,
yeah.
Okay? But he remembers how important it was that we put the Lord first. And those are some tough things that's going to come about. Another great conviction character passage that is there in Acts chapter 4. And we got Peter and the city officials tell them, you're not to speak any more about Jesus. And in verse 20 of Acts 4, Peter says, we cannot stop speaking what we've heard and seen. We're going to keep preaching. You can tell us not to, but we're going to because this is what is right. That's character, that's conviction, that's choice.
Let's end on a practical question that maybe is on the minds of a variety of people. I know it has been on my mind as we've navigated 2020, now into 2021. Is it possible to have strong convictions and still live a Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4 sort of life? Paul says, don't do anything from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. I'm afraid that in the minds of some, strong conviction means I don't really care how you feel or what you think, or if I care how you feel and I'm willing to put you ahead of myself, that must mean you're weak on convictions. Can you give us some wisdom on that balance?
Yeah, it's kind of that balance. It's what it is. It is a balance. And when we think about the characters in the Bible who had conviction, they were not obnoxious. Back in Daniel 1, we don't see Daniel turning that table over. We don't see him picking up food and starting a food fight. How dare you give me this food? In fact, what the passage says is he talked to the commander and asked for permission to do something different. You see, there's a balance there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't start a fist fight, start a riot when they refused to bow down. They didn't do that. They were bold in their feelings toward the king, but they weren't hurting other people. And so we look out for others. We care for others. But in doing that, I don't compromise where I stand. I stand with the Lord, okay? But that doesn't give me a pass to be rude, unkind, or just close the door and caring for others. Look at how many people were opposed to Jesus. But there he is, healing them. There he is in Samaria, talking to a woman at the well. There he is doing good to all people. And so that's our example. That's what we have to follow. And so our times gives us the idea that if I have convictions, I'm going to be in your face, in your eye, and I'm going to be almost pushing you to have a fight. Well, that's not convictions. That's a troublemaker. My convictions ought to be carried in such a way that it will encourage someone else. And usually what people will say is, I wish I could stand up like you. I believe what you do, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid someone's going to say something against me. And when you do it in a kind and in the way the Lord wants to do it, it just comes out just being right.
Yeah, the Bible, New Testament especially, is not shy in telling us that the gospel is going to be offensive to some people. Paul describes the offense of the cross, and we stand unashamedly at the foot of the cross. We stand beneath the banner of the cross, and if someone is offended by the gospel, well, we're going to stand by our convictions. But I think very rightly you're getting us to think that doesn't mean we have to be offensive people, that we would act unwisely or without charity, without meekness, that we would be closed to reason. No, that's not what we're talking about.
In fact, just to throw a passage or two, Jesus would say, pray for your enemy.
Yeah.
Do good to all people. And what did he, and he didn't just say those words, he demonstrated them. One of his seven prayers upon the cross was for the people who nailed him to the cross. God forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so we're going to run into people that just don't agree with you. They're going to be rubbed the wrong way. But you know what? Pray for them. Love them. Help them. Do good to all people.
He's working on you. What a great thing to think about here in the middle of this week. He builds conviction from the outside in with his word. He builds character from the inside out with our minds renewed by his spirit. And he builds us where we dwell. It is a choice day by day. And we hope that today's reflections have helped you make that choice anew. Roger, we're going to have more help, more encouragement, Lord willing, this evening at 7 o'clock.
We continue our series on the life of Joseph, not looking at it real detail, but we're kind of just using it as a reflection as we build our theme to rise and build. And we're going to begin talking about some of these dreams, lots of dreams in the life of Joseph. We're going to talk about dreams just a little bit, but then we're going to focus upon the fat cows and the skinny cows and that dream there of Pharaoh and lessons we learn about choosing what is best. Choosing what is best is what we're going to focus on.
I've got the opportunity. I'm excited for it to preach this coming Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. I'm just going to continue to build right along with you on our theme for the year, Rise and Build. We've talked about clearing out the rubble, and we've talked about Jesus as the cornerstone. You've given us two great lessons the last two Sundays about this church that he is building. I'm going to go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, and look at three words in that verse, the idea of being joined together. That's the language that is used as Paul describes us as these living stones that are being built up into a holy temple in the Lord. And so, in an era where a lot of people are allowing themselves to be pulled apart from each other, we're going to talk about Jesus building us together, what that means and what that implies. We've got a lot of exciting things going on here at Charlestown Road. We would love to have you tune in to the live stream this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. for Roger's class. Have a Bible open, be ready to go, download that interactive outline at charlestownroad.org before he starts. This Sunday morning, we would love to have you in person. Last Sunday, we had just an excellent crowd, largest crowd we've had in a good long time. We're seeing some positive momentum in the right direction. We would love to see you in person. If you're unable to, certainly tune into that live stream. We want to help you continue to build to God's glory. We're looking forward to it, to Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.